Okay, so it's coming to the one of the nicest parts of the retreat. It hasn't ended yet, but some people think it soon will. But who knows what's going to happen in the next hour? Because it did happen several times in some stories which I always tell at the end of a retreat. And one of them was about the nun, Siha. She was a bhikkhuni. And she had been a nun for 7 whole years. And she'd been meditating like you've been meditating. And if you think you've had a hard time, think of the poor bhikkhuni, Siha. She said for 7 years, she had never even experienced a moment of peace. Her mind was wandering all over the place. She was having a very difficult time. So those of you who've been here for 3 or 4 days and haven't had a moment's peace, that's nothing compared to the nun Siha. But after 7 years, she'd had enough. And because she had enough, she did not want to go back to her house. Because many of the nuns in that time said that when they left their home, when they renounced, they always said they gave up the 3 crooked things. And the 3 crooked things which they gave up, this was like the way that nuns would speak 2500 years ago. They said the first crooked thing they gave up was the soup ladle. The ladle they made to cook, so it was like symbolic of giving up cooking. And she didn't want to go back to cooking again. And the second crooked thing she gave up was the broom, the sweeping, which symbolized housework. So those are the first 2 crooked things they gave up, cooking and housework. And the 3rd crooked thing they gave up was the husband. And that's in original Buddhism, the 3 crooked things. So always remember, girls, the 3 crooked things are the ladle for the making curries, the broom for sweeping, and the 3rd crooked thing is your husband. They all had a sense of humor in those days. And, see, I don't want to go back to the 3 crooked things, but I can't stay as a nun. It's just no peace at all. So she decided to do the only thing left. She got a length of rope. She went into the forest. She climbed a tree. And she tied one end of that rope onto a thick branch. And another around her neck. And she was just about to jump off when she became enlightened. That was a very close thing. And I don't recommend it for you. That's why we always hide the ropes at the end of a retreat. But, hopefully that you've gained something from this retreat. And this particular retreat is a short retreat. And there are people here who are meditating for the first time. There are people here who have been meditating for many years. And I try to pitch the retreat or to put the teachings at a level which can suit everybody. Sometimes all the teachings which I've given during this retreat, there have been many of them. And some of them you may think you've understood, but you haven't yet. Some of these things which you hear sometimes make no sense. But I know the psychology of the mind. They stay inside there somewhere, waiting for the right opportunity when you'll remember them and they will start to make sense. For example, just one of the first teachings which I heard from Ajahn Chah in the first year I was at his monastery in Wat Bapong in northeast Thailand. It was a teaching which made no sense to me at all. However, somehow or other I remembered it, because only a couple of years ago it came to my mind again. And it was such a beautiful explanation of Dhamma. Ajahn Chah once said in that first year, that was about 32 years ago now, he said that his monastery was like a mango orchard planted by the Buddha. And he said all the trees are big and mature, And all of the branches are dripping with sweet mangoes. He said, these days you don't need to do anything, he said, because the trees were planted by the Buddha. He said, these days all the monks, the nuns, the yogis have to do is put out their hand and a mango will drop into it. And of course that was completely counterintuitive, because I thought that if you wanted a mango, at least you had to climb the tree, or throw a stick in there, or at least shake it to make the mango fall. And obviously, by the mango he meant peace, jhanas, enlightenment. He said you don't need to shake the tree. These days, all you need to do is put your hand out and peace, jhana, enlightenment will fall right into it. And what an amazing teaching that was. It was a teaching of letting go, a teaching of stillness, a teaching of saying, you just be still, don't do anything, and all the fruits of enlightenment, they will come to you. You don't need to go chasing them. You may not understand that story yet, but now I've mentioned it, one day you will. To make it even more clear, I've got my own series of similes. And one of my favorite similes, which I've told here last year, so those of you at the retreat last year would remember this. It's a famous simile of the donkey and the carrot. It's also in my book, Mindfulness, Bliss and Beyond. If any of you have ever been to Southern Europe, you may still see donkey carts, but mostly for the tourists. But maybe 50 years ago, the donkey cart was one of the main forms of transport. The donkeys were very strong, but as you would know from their reputation, donkeys are very stubborn. There are many donkeys here on this retreat. And donkeys being very stubborn, it's very hard to make them pull the cart. You can whip them, shout at them, push them, but the donkey is so stubborn it will just stand there. The only way to make donkey pull the cart is to tie a stick at its back, and the front end of the stick is about 2 feet in front of the donkey's head. On the end of the stick you put a string, on the end of the string a nice juicy carrot. So the donkey is facing this carrot only about 2 feet in front of its mouth. So what does the donkey do? It starts moving towards the carrot. But because the carrot's on a string, on a stick, and the stick's tied to the donkey's back, when the donkey moves, the carrot moves too. The donkey runs, the carrot runs. And the carrot is always a couple of feet in front of the donkey, which means the owner can get that donkey to pull the cart all day, and he still doesn't get the carrot. Now, sometimes that's like you, which I said there's many donkeys here. Sometimes you've been chasing peace, you've been chasing the deep meditation, chasing enlightenment all the last 3 or 4 days. Have you caught it yet? No. Because however much you do, it's like peace, happiness, stillness is always a couple of feet in front of you. But when you learn Dhamma, you know how to catch the carrot. Because it was about 40 years ago when Buddhism started to go into Southern Europe that all the donkeys, they learned how to catch the carrot. That's why they can't use donkeys anymore. And this is how donkey catches carrot. The donkey sees that carrot, and all day, all week, it's noticed that no matter how fast it moves, the carrot is always 2 feet in front of him. So the donkey puts an extra spurt of effort in, and he runs as fast as any donkey has ever run for that carrot. What does the carrot do? The carrot is running just as fast in front. But donkey knows this. And when the carrot is at top speed, then that's when the donkey knows how to stop. The donkey stops. He lets go. He doesn't do anything. He renounces. He just stands there. And as soon as a donkey stops, what does a carrot do? The carrot goes further away than it's ever been before. But the donkey has got patience and faith. Patience to wait for a while and faith to understand the law of cause and effect. It doesn't need to do anything. Even though the carrot's going further away than it's ever gone before, the donkey has faith in his teacher who says, don't worry, let go, the mind will come back to you. You don't have to worry about your sloth and torpor, about your restless mind. Make peace with it. Open the door of your heart to your sloth, torpor, restless, crazy mind. And the donkey has faith in that. So he just stands there. And that carrot goes further away than it's ever been before. Your mind gets so restless or so dull. But you wait. Because soon that carrot changes direction. Soon the carrot is coming towards you. And soon it's at its usual distance, 2 feet in front of you. But this time the carrot is moving at great velocity right towards you. And at this point it's very easy to have faith because you can see what's going on. And all you need to do is continue being still. Don't do anything. Just wait. And at the right moment, when the carrot comes close enough, what the donkey thinks is, the door of my mouth is open to you, carrot, and the carrot comes in all by itself, munch. And that's how you become enlightened. So you've already been running fast enough. Now all you need to do is to let go. Be still and be peaceful. And if you do it long enough, the carrot, your peace, whatever you think enlightenment is, goes further away than it's ever been, but then it starts coming back to you. And once it starts coming back to you, you know what meditation is. You just sit there and it gets more and more peaceful, more and more still. So that's really what I've been trying to teach on this retreat. Teaching you to stop. Not to do anything. Wait. And the carrot comes to you. Maybe you've had little experiences of that. Intuitions of how the carrot comes to you. Because the more you chase it, the further it goes away. That's why before the Buddha became enlightened, he put his bowl in a river and he made a resolution. If I have what it takes to become enlightened, may this bowl float against the current. And it did. It went against the stream. And that was supposed to be a sign that the Buddha would become enlightened. But it's more than just a sign. It was also showing him how to become enlightened. To go against the stream. Against the stream of what? Against the stream of craving. So to do things differently. Instead of trying to chase peace or chase enlightenment, you sit there and wait for enlightenment to come to you. That's what Ajahn Chah said. Don't need to climb the tree. Don't need to shake it. All you need to do is put your hand out and the mango comes to you. If you understand that, you understand the essence of Dhamma, the essence of meditation, and the essence of how to become enlightened. So, having given you the idea and the essence on this retreat, some of those ideas will stay with you, some you'll forget, some you'll understand, some will completely confuse you. But after a little while, once those seeds are planted, one day those seeds will germinate and you'll be meditating, and the mind gets really, really peaceful. You understand the meaning of all those sayings. But be patient. It takes time to learn meditation. It's not something you can do just in one or two days. And so be kind to yourself. Be gentle to yourself. And do lots and lots of letting go in your meditation. When you're working, you have to do it hard. You have to crave, you have to plan, you have to remember. But when you're meditating, you take this time off. And that helps you be more successful in whatever you do in your life. More sensitive, and I'll be talking about that later tonight. But in the meantime, I'd encourage each one of you to keep your meditation going when you go home. Because you can always find time if it's really important for you. And if you make meditation important, you see it's important, it's always easy to find the time. Even though you won't be able to go deep when you're at home, because you haven't got the supporting conditions, still it keeps the pot warm. And you boil it when you come on the retreats. You've got more time to actually to really get into it. And little by little, you get more and more peaceful, more and more happy, more wise, more healthy, and closer to enlightenment. But if you don't meditate, well, you're going to get closer to being crazy, closer to being more angry, closer to being a case for that for the mental institution for crazy people. So when you meditate, it's much better for you. And to emphasize that, here's one of the classic stories we tell about the importance of meditation for life. And it's the old story of the professor and the old seaman. I don't know if I told this last year. Don't know, we'll see. Long time ago, before there was Singapore Airlines or MAS, when people went from Australia to Malaysia, they had to go in the boat. So this was one of those occasions. There was a professor who was traveling from Australia to Malaysia on the ship. And having left the port the first night, he had his dinner on board, and he decided to have a walk on the deck. And as he was walking on the deck, he saw this old man, this old sailor, looking up to the sky, looking down into the sea. And the professor thought, well, it's a beautiful evening. Maybe I can have some conversation with this old sailor. So he went up to the old man and said, "Sailor, how long have you been at sea?" He said, "Ever since I was a 14-year-old boy. It's almost 50 years now I've been sailing these oceans." Amazing, 50 years at sea, that's a long time. You know, in all these years at sea, you probably know a lot about the waves and the animals which live beneath your boat. You know, you must be quite an expert on marine science. Maybe we can have some discussion about, you know, marine science. "Marine what?" said the old sailor. "As for me," said the sailor, "I don't know anything about the currents and the shoals of fish and the animals which live underneath me. I don't know anything about that." "What," said the professor, "in all those years at sea, you never bothered to learn about the ocean underneath you?" "No," said the sailor. "You stupid old man," said the professor. "What a waste of a life, you stupid old man. Never bothering to pick up a book and learn about the ocean underneath you." And he walked away, having scolded the old sailor. The second night at sea, it was a very wonderful dinner which the cook prepared. So the professor was in a good mood. And this time he saw the sailor looking up at this beautiful clear sky. And so the professor decided to give the old man a second chance. He went up to the old man and said, "I'm sorry what I said last night. I see you looking at these stars, and these stars are what guide your ship, because these were the day before GPS. Global positioning satellites. So you had to guide yourself by the stars." And he said, "I realize you may not know too much about the ocean underneath you, but I bet you know a lot about astronomy. And that's actually my hobby," said the professor. "Let's compare notes. Do you see Sirius over there?" "What?" said the old sailor. "Sirius. One of the constellations." "Oh, is that what it is?" "I don't know," said the old sailor. "What," said the professor, "all these years at sea, and you never bothered to learn about the stars ahead of you which guide your ship?" "No, that's a navigator's job," said the sailor. "You stupid old man. You stupid old man," said the professor. "All these years at sea, not bothered to learn about the sky above you. What a waste of a life." And he walked away. The third night at sea. This was an excellent dinner, but when he went out on deck, it was one of these wonderful evenings where there was a warm breeze just wafting over the ocean. Just the night was so magnificent, it put the professor into a good mood. And so he thought, when he saw the old sail, I'll give this old guy one more chance. And he went next to the professor and said, next to the old sailor. And the professor said, oh, what a wonderful evening this is, and what a cool breeze it is coming over the ocean. Yes, said the old sailor, isn't it a wonderful breeze? You know, said the professor, I think I misjudged you. I realize as a sailor you don't need to know too much about the oceans or the sky above you. What you really have to know about is the weather, because that weather blows your ship from port to port, and also if the weather gets too bad, it can cause you to sink. You must know a lot about the winds and the storms at sea and meteorology, and actually that's what I am. I'm a professor of meteorology, and I'm going to Malaysia to give a series of lectures on meteorology. I think I can get some interesting information from your old sailor. Let's compare notes about meteorology. And the old sailor said, meteorology, what's that? What, said the professor? You don't know anything about the winds and the storms and the weather? Nope, said the old man. You stupid old man. All those years at sea and you never bothered to pick up a book and learn about life around you, about the waves and the ocean and the stars and the sky and the weather. What a waste of a life. Imagine 50 years at sea. You never bother to learn anything. You stupid old man, what a waste of a life, what a waste of a life. The fourth night at sea, the professor never had any dinner, because it was a rough night on the ocean, and the boat was swaying backwards and forwards, and professor, he suffered from seasickness, so he stayed in his cabin, not eating. And as it got later and later into the night, the storm got worse and worse, and the boat started to rock more and more, and Professor got very scared. And his fear reached a crescendo when he heard a bang! Something cracked. And then he heard people running just outside his cabin door. And terrified, he opened the cabin door, and who was running outside? The old seaman. And the old seaman stopped. And he turned to the professor and said, Professor, in all your years, have you ever picked up a book and learned about swimming? And the professor said, oh, actually, no, I can't swim. You stupid old professor, said the old sailor. What a waste of a life, what a waste of a life. The ship's sinking. And the moral of that story, if you're a sailor, the most important thing to learn is to have to swim. Forget about meteorology and astronomy or marine science. The most important thing is to learn how to keep your head above water. And the same way, the most important thing to learn about life is also how to keep your head above water. And one of the most important things which help keep your head above water is learning how to meditate. Otherwise, when life gets difficult, when you get your cancer, when your business goes a bit bad, when the marriage is a bit difficult, if you don't know how to meditate, I'll come along and say, you stupid old yogi, what a waste of a life, what a waste of a life, what a waste of a life. But if you can meditate, you'll always manage to survive no matter what happens in life. So that's why meditation is really, really, really important. That's why I've taught this on the last few days. Well, I like teaching meditation because it does make people happier. It does make people healthier. It does make marriages stronger so they can survive and be happy together. And it does help you become more peaceful, wise, and solve all your problems in life. So that's why we teach this meditation. So hopefully you'll take these teachings back with you, and you'll meditate more and more. And when you meditate at home, you'll find your children meditate, your partners meditate, because they see that there's a change in you. You're a better person. You don't need to go and evangelize and go around and tell your husband or your wife who's not here. Meditation is the only way. You can't get to heaven unless you meditate. Don't go around being evangelists. You just be a quiet, good person, and people will see themselves that when you meditate, you become a much better, kinder, calmer, wonderful person. And that's the best way you can share these benefits with others. Not by what you say, but how you say it. Not by what you do, but how you do it. That's how these teachings get spread around and inspire so many other people. So those are the last words of advice for you. If you want the practical terms of advice, how long should you meditate when you go home? How many minutes, how many hours a day? The general rule of thumb is meditate the same number of minutes every day that you spend eating. If you spend 15 minutes eating every day, then 50 minutes meditating. An hour eating, an hour meditating. 3 hours eating, then 3 hours meditating. Because meditation is food for the heart. And the ordinary food is food for the tummy. And when they're balanced, then you're in a good spot. And also, as I said, I think yesterday, if you do spend 3 hours eating, you get very fat, you get overweight. But the way to balance that is lots of meditation, and you get very happy. And remember, the happy people and the fat people, they go together and live healthy. Because their arteries expand. So if you do eat a lot, you have to meditate a lot to compensate. Okay, so thank you for listening to that. Now we usually do a little ceremony called asking for forgiveness. Even though you have done nothing wrong whatsoever, you have been absolutely perfect yogis. Because I don't have fault-finding mind. And I think even last year, when I was here, I gave you forgiveness in the three time zones, remember? Which means I gave you forgiveness for everything you've done in the past. Going back 91 eons. And I forgive you for everything you're doing now. And I also forgive you for everything you might ever do in the future. I did that last year to save time. To make it efficient, you're pre-forgiven before you even do it. Isn't that wonderful? But nevertheless, we do the ceremony. So we'd like to do a forgiveness ceremony.
And before that, Ajahn Brahm, you would, on behalf of the yogis, we would also like to appreciate, we would like to express our appreciation to Ajahn Brahm. Although it was a very short retreat, but like they say, short and sweet. But anyway, for the brief shining moment, Ajahn Brahm had brought light, like the light from a superstar. But and Ajahn Brahm had also brought happiness, joy, wisdom, and of course the priceless Dhamma. We are very deeply grateful to Ajahn Brahm for coming all the way here to share the priceless Dhamma with us. Personally speaking, I find that Ajahn Brahm is the most kindest, most compassionate person I know. And certainly one of the happiest I've seen. So we are very fortunate and very deeply grateful to Ajahn Brahm. We would also like to express our appreciation and thanks to Ajahn Dhammarato for being here to advise and to help us and assist us in this retreat, and also to the Venerable Sangha. It was a pleasure for us to see the Sangha in action and to have served the Sangha. And on behalf of the organizers, we would also like to we are also grateful to the retreatants for letting us have this opportunity to serve the Buddha Sasana. We have tried to make the conditions as conducive for all of you to enable you to have good practice, and for those beginners to have a taste of what the Dhamma is like. Because it's a short retreat, basically it's the extent of the more fuller retreat is quite different. So, but anyway, we hope it will set you on the path to seek a more deeper peace and more happiness which will eventually, we hope, lead to your enlightenment. And we would also like to ask for your forgiveness as well if you have done anything wrong, body, speech or mind, and troubled your minds. So now we would like to ask forgiveness from Ajahn Brahm and the Sangha. Brother Robin will lead the forgiveness.
On behalf of the organizers and fellow retreatants, we'd like to ask forgiveness from Ajahn Brahm as well as all other venerable sirs. Like usual, like just now, we just chant the Namo Tassa 3 times and then we do the English version, then the forgiveness, and then the English version. Okay? Ekaditi. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa. Homage to the Blessed One, the Arihant, the fully enlightened Buddha. Homage to the Blessed One, the Arahant, the fully enlightened Buddha. Homage to the Blessed One, the Arahant, the fully enlightened Buddha. Acharye Pamadena Dwarataye Nakatang Sabbang Aparadang Kamatuno Bante. Acharye Pamadena Dwarataye Nakatang Sabbang Aparadang Kamatuno Bante. Acharye Pamadena Dwarataye Nakatang Sabbang Aparadang Kamatuno Bante. Forgive us, Venerable Sir, for any wrongdoing done carelessly to the Venerable One, through body, speech or mind. Forgive us, Venerable Sir, for any wrongdoing done carelessly to the Venerable One, through body, speech or mind. Forgive us, Venerable Sir, for any wrongdoing done carelessly to the Venerable One, through body, speech or mind.
Sadhu, you are hereby forgiven on behalf of the Sangha for anything you've ever done or even thought of doing which might have been naughty, or anything you haven't done which you should have done. You are forgiven for everything in the past, the present and also for the future. And on behalf of the Sangha, we also ask your forgiveness if anything the Sangha has done which may have caused yourself irritation or difficulty in any which way whatsoever. We too ask your forgiveness. Phew. Okay, now what's next? You do the loving kindness meditation? Okay. So now we do, to finish off in a beautiful way, we do a little loving kindness meditation. And I will lead this, take about half an hour. And towards the end of the meditation, I get you to share loving kindness with all beings. We've got to build up the power, first of all. So we're going to get the force coming along. As I used to say in Star Wars, let the force be with you. the force of loving kindness. I got lots of monks in my monastery tell me about these things. And after the loving kindness is finished, I'll finish the meditation with a blessing for you all. So the meditation will last about half an hour, and then we'll, monks will do the blessing, and that will finish the retreat. Is that okay? Oh, five precepts as well. Maybe do the five precepts first, and then loving kindness meditation, because it makes it nice. Okay, five precepts first. Okay, so I do Namo Tassa first. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Now that completes the three refuges. I will now give the five precepts. And because many of you have been keeping these five precepts for a long time, you probably know them backwards. And so I will recite them backwards. Sura Meriye Pamad. I've got it wrong. Sura Meriye Maja Pamadatana Veramani Sikapadang Samadhyami. Musawada Veramani Sikapadang Samadhyami. Kamesu Michachara Veramani Sikapadang Samadhyami. Adinadana Veramani Sikapadang Samadhyami. Panati Pata Veramani Sikapadang Samadhyami. Very good. You're very rare disciples who have the opportunity to chant the five precepts backwards because you know them backwards. But please practice them forward. Imani Pancha Sikapadani Silena Sugating Yanti Silena Boga Sampada Silena Nibuting Yanti Tasma Silang Visodaye. Okay, so now you have those five precepts. Please guard them because they're very precious. Okay, now we can actually do the meditation on loving kindness. So if you'd like to sit in your meditation posture, for those of you who do get pain in the legs, please get a chair out. There's plenty of chairs there. It takes 1 or 2 minutes to get a chair and sit on it, and that will save you a lot of pain and discomfort. And you're supposed to be developing loving kindness. If you can't develop loving kindness to yourself, who can? Do letting go meditation too by going to the toilet. Many people are doing the letting go meditation in the loo. Then we can do the loving kindness. There's plenty of time, we don't need to rush. It's all right. You can go in the men's loo. It's okay in the back there. That's okay. No one's in there, so no men go into the toilet for the next 5 minutes. You can go in the men's side. No, no. Women's as well. Okay. Okay. Okay, so for those of you not in the toilet, well, they're in there now. And come and sit down and close your eyes. Before we do loving kindness meditation, we've just got to relax the body, relax the mind, first of all. So you're sitting in your meditation position. With your eyes closed, bringing the attention to the body, first of all. Just to feel how you're sitting here. And be kind to your body. If the body needs any attention, if any part of it needs moving, please do so. If anything needs scratching, please scratch it. The reason why we close our eyes is so you can scratch parts of the body you wouldn't dare scratching in public, because we've all got our eyes closed. So be kind to your body. And say to your body, body, may you be happy and well, may you be at peace and free from suffering. So this body too can feel the beautiful peace coming from you to try and make this body as comfortable and peaceful as possible. Body, may you be free from pain. May all your aches be relieved. Body, may you be healthy and well. Is there anything I can do, body, to help you? If there is anything you can do by adjusting your legs or your back or your hands, please do so. Be just so kind and attentive to your body, as if your body was your only child. And you give your heart to your only child, as here you give your full attention to this body. If there is a pain or an ache in the body which just cannot go by adjusting your bodily posture, give that pain, that ache, beautiful loving kindness. Imagine that ball of ache or pain. And imagine, as it were, you were stroking, caressing, softening that ball of pain. Or even allowing it to start expanding. Opening the door of your heart to any physical discomfort and allowing that feeling to grow and spread throughout your whole body and to spread further outside your body, because when you expand these feelings they get thinner, less dense, and as you spread them even further it's like taking a hard block of ice, melting it and then evaporating that water until it becomes as thin as a cloud, and the cloud expanding ever further until it fills the whole universe and is so spread out you can't feel it anymore. I call this being kind to my pain by expanding. And you might find through that kindness the pain in your body is gone. And now be kind to your mind by giving loving kindness to your thoughts. Too often we wear our mind out by thinking of all the past and thinking of all the future. Now the time is to say, dear mind, for these few moments I want you to be free. You can put down all those burdens. You'll have to carry them again soon, but not now. It's as if you see someone lugging some heavy weights, and you go up to them and say, I will carry them, sir, for now. So you take the weights off your mind. Take away its baggage for these few moments, so you don't have to think of the past or the future. Out of kindness, I give myself freedom. The freedom just to be, in this moment, whoever I am. And then you're kind to your breath. This breath which comes in and out every moment of your life. When you're awake, when you're asleep, when you're working, when you're resting. Without any complaint, the breath has continued to feed you oxygen and take away the waste products. In this moment, be kind to your breath. Dear breath, may you flow in smoothly. May you flow out freely. As you gently cradle the breath in your attention, in your mindfulness, just allowing the breath to breathe in, allowing the breath to go out, according to its own nature. And you just watch, free, and liberate your breath from all the tension and obstacles. Dear breath, may you go in and out freely. As you feel the breath with loving kindness, combining these two great meditation techniques of metta and breath. You're not trying to get peaceful. You're not trying to get jhanas. All you're doing is being kind to this breath. Breath, may you be at peace. Breath, may you be free from any ailments or pain. Breath, the door of my heart is open to you. As you just pay attention, not taking for granted, the breath which feeds you life, the breath which takes out all the toxins. You could even imagine the next in-breath you breathe in is breathing all the energy, all of the good, wonderful energy from the Buddha. As you breathe out, you empty your heart and body from all the defilements and sicknesses. You breathe in Dhamma, purity, goodness, and you breathe out any defilements or any illness. Breathing in the light of Dhamma, breathing in the darkness of sickness, craving and hate. As every in-breath, you breathe in positive energy, and every out-breath, any pain or sickness, any anger, resentment, you breathe out. Persistently filling your body with this wonderful good energy. Persistently emptying it on every out-breath of all negativity. Breathing in, beautiful energy. Breathing out, all that's painful and negative. Breathing in positive energy, light. Breathing out all the dark energy, pain, sickness, and negative emotions. Now when you're feeling relaxed, we can begin the metta meditation. Loving kindness needs a trigger, a spark, in order to ignite the beautiful warmth of metta loving kindness. I usually use an imaginary kitten. If you like to use a puppy, a baby, or whatever else you find an affinity for, something which is easy to love and care for. In my mind, I imagine a little kitten. A little kitten which has been abandoned, who has no mother to care for it. A kitten may be born 2-3 days ago, who already is terrified of life, whose only experience in its few hours of living has been rejection and violence, who is hungry, alone, cold, and so frightened. There are many beings like that in this world, beings abandoned, who cannot care for themselves, who, if left alone, would die a miserable, painful death. I imagine I find that little kitten cowering in a corner of some rubbish heap, cowering, afraid, yet knowing that it can only survive if someone, some kind person, stops to help it. I see that tiny little kitten, so vulnerable, so easily hurt. I see it afraid of me, and I give it loving kindness. I open my heart to it. That's the only way I can build its trust. This trust enough for me to help it. So I try and make eye contact with that little being who's shrinking back into the darkness. I look in its eyes, and in my heart I say, "Dear kitten, I am your friend. I will never harm you. I will never give you pain. I will care for you so tenderly, so gently. I will take away your pain. I will remove your hunger. I will clean up the dirt, the wounds. Please know, little kitten, that someone in this world really cares for you. And that's me." As you stretch out your thoughts of loving kindness to that little being first of all, to soften its fear, so its heart and body begins to relax. And I imagine myself, so slowly and gently, extending my hand. As I get close to that kitten, the kitten instinctively shrinks back, Every time it's been touched so far in its 3 days of life, it's been pain, it's been blood, it's been fear. So gently I touch it. As I touch that little being with loving kindness, it realizes for the first time it's being met by another person who does not hurt it, who does not cause it pain. At last it's being met by love. As I manage to put my hand around its small body and lift it gently from the darkness into the light and close to my chest. On my chest, on the area above my heart. As I bring that little ball of dirt and fluff, the little live kitten, a being who's never known tenderness before, as I bring it close to me and I warm it with my warmth, I care for it with my compassion as I so gently stroke it. You can feel the little being's heartbeat inside. You can feel it looking at you. Imagine its eyes giving you its trust. The greatest gift we can give each other is that full 100% trust. Little beings can give that to you. Little being, my little kitten, the door of my heart will always be open to you. When I'm busy, when I'm upset, you are my friend still. I will care and protect and nurture you. I will make sure you're well fed, you're looked after, your health is fine, you're comfortable, warm and protected. It is my joy to give you unlimited loving kindness and compassion. As you keep the image of that little kitten right in the center of your imagination. You imagine that little kitten, that puppy, that baby, whatever you are using as your first trigger of loving kindness. You see that little kitten change its face from one of fear to one of trust to one of love. Whenever you give even the smallest bit of loving kindness, it comes back to you magnified many times. Little being, may you be well. I really, really want you to be happy. I want you to be a little fat kitten, a fat cat when you grow up. I want to see you play and be naughty. Little kitten, I truly love you and care for you. As you even imagine that little kitten growing up, and what it's like to be a little cat on your lap as you stroke it and care for it. Two friends who enjoy each other's presence. Dear cat, I give you my unlimited loving kindness. And as you feel that warmth going out to that little kitten, still held by your chest, you can also feel a tingling in that part of your body. When loving kindness starts to grow, very often it comes with a physical counterpart feeling, a tingling in this skin around your chest. And if that tingling is strong enough, you've started the tender, warm emotion of love. You can transform that image of a kitten into the image of someone who's so close to you in this life. Your best friend, your lover, your child, whoever it is in this world who you feel closest to. You imagine them with your eyes closed as if they were standing before you. You look at them with the same eyes of kindness as you looked at that small, abandoned, vulnerable kitten. Dear friend, as we journey through this world together, each one of us experiences the pain of sickness, the frustration of disappointment, and the hard jabs of rejection. Dear friend, you are my Kalyanamitta, my good friend and companion on this path. I truly care for you. As you keep that image in front of you as you think these thoughts, dear friend, the door of my heart will always be open to you. Though others will criticize you, though others will see your faults, I will only see your goodness, your kindness, your inner beauty. Dear friend, though this world may be hard, may it criticize you, or if it criticizes you or rains its blows upon you, know this, you always have a friend in me, someone who will always be kind and caring, someone who will always be gentle and understanding. Dear friend, the door of my heart will always be open to you, no matter where you go, no matter what you do. My love is so strong for you, it can never fade. As you embrace your closest acquaintance, your closest friend, with as much unbounded, unconditional, no strings attached loving kindness as you possibly can, even imagine you have phantom arms, imaginary arms coming from your side. Not your real arms, but imaginary ones, which come around them from the back, embrace and hug and bring them close to you. Dear friend, I truly care for you. I truly, sincerely, with every ounce of my being, want you to be well. May all your pain be eased. Through the power of my mind, I will take all your pain away. May all your fear be melted by my protection and energy. Dear friend, may any suffering which is left, may I find that and throw it away for you. Dear friend, may you feel this beautiful freedom and peace and happiness, which is my gift for you. As you surround this being, the closest one to you in your life, with as much intense, freeing, caring, gentle, loving kindness as you can produce, you generate it from your heart, and you make it flow in and around, bathing, soaking, drenching that person with the power of your love. It's like there's a golden ball glowing in your heart region, sending out its energy, its powers, its golden rays of warming light through every molecule of that person's body, healing, encouraging, energizing, freeing that being from any pain or sickness. Dear friend, the door of my heart is so open. The energy of my loving kindness is flowing like a torrent in your direction. As you feel once more the sensation around your chest, the sensation which shows you are starting something very powerful. This energy, this light, this force coming from you to another being, only wishing them well-being and happiness. And without stopping that feeling, you simply start imagining all the people in this room, all your fellow yogis, the monks, all people who've gone on this journey for the last few days of meditation, the people who've had their disappointments, their aches, their pains, the people in this room with sicknesses, the people with the joys of just being newlywed, all the people who have their happiness and suffering, your fellow travelers on this path, wish them well. Fellow yogis, the door of my heart is so open to each one of you. I don't care how well you've meditated or not meditated. I don't care to judge. I only care to love. You spread this beautiful energy which can find no fault to everybody in this room, letting the golden light of your unconditional, unbounded loving kindness spread to every yogi in this room, even to the visitors in the back. May all beings in this room be happy and well. Any tightness, any tension, any pain, it is my joy to take that away. With the power, the supernormal power of this loving kindness. May you all be free from suffering. May this loving kindness give you hope for your future. So there is no fear. This is this power of all this energy behind you, caring for you, helping you with your problems, helping carry the burden of your future with you. May all beings in this room feel the freedom which the Buddha once felt, the peace, the happiness of loving kindness. As you open the door of your heart to all beings in this room, allowing this golden energy to fill the room to every corner, healing, encouraging, releasing the tensions and the tightness in body and mind. So everyone in this room, just like that little kitten, now feels well, happy, free, as we all share the golden energy, powerful warmth of unbounded, unconditional, loving kindness coming from the hearts of each one of us here. I need to care for you, and you need to care for us. As we share our hearts, our energy, many bodies, but one energy, the great Buddhist energy of loving kindness, true, unbounded, unlimited compassion, filling this room and drenching everybody within it, until there's no difference between us. And with all those hearts together, all that energy flows through the windows and the doors, down the stairs, throughout this whole compound, to all the beings, the dogs, the cats, the birds, even the little insects. May all beings in this compound right now take a share of this unbounded, incredible, powerful loving kindness. Know that in this moment, as many people care for you, who send the energy of their life out for you, may all beings in this compound be free of fear. May your sicknesses be appeased. May your pain grow less until it completely disappears. May all your anxieties and disappointments magically fade away because the power of my loving kindness, of our loving kindness, as you spread this energy which has no bounds, a source which can never be quenched, which can never be exhausted, sending it out to the world, beyond this compound, until it goes throughout the whole suburb of Aitam, out to your homes and places where you usually live, to your friends, to your relations, to the hospitals, to the prisons. May all beings in this great island of Penang, those who are in fear, who are exhausted with the struggle for life, for those people who are lying on their deathbeds in the hospital, to the relations who are so scared and worried what will happen when their loved one passes away, to those people who have arguments, who are worried and so scared, to those who were going around their normal daily life, may all beings in this great island of Penang feel a little bit of peace, some happiness, which we are all sending to you right now. May all people in Penang, all animals, all invisible beings, I truly, sincerely, with every ounce of my being, wish you happiness, wish you freedom from fear, wish your pain to be eased, and your anxiety to vanish. May you know that we care for you, that in this moment, not one, but many people love you, care for you, without reservation. Even though we don't know you, we still care for you. And allow this golden glow, this pure, unconditional loving kindness to flow throughout the whole island, going over the mainland, to the whole peninsula. May all people in this country of Malaysia, don't care whether you're Muslims, Christians, Buddhists, atheists, whether you are animals, invisible beings, or the birds of the air, or the things which crawl on the ground, all subject to fear, all open to pain, great pain, all beings on this country, the door of my heart is open to each one of you. May you be free from fear. My job is to care for you, to be kind, to protect, to bring you happiness. That is my privilege and joy. As you spread this golden glow of loving kindness, like the two invisible arms now coming and being so huge they go right around the country, bringing everybody together as one, leaving no one out. May all beings in this country be happy and well. As you spread that golden glow, that light, that balm of love, even further, the more you spread it, the stronger it grows, and the more your heart pours out. All beings in the world, the beings in the Middle East, in Darfur, the beings who suffered in the floods of southern Malaysia, or in the fires of Australia, wherever you are, all beings, human, animal, insect, birds of the air, invisible beings, know that this loving kindness cannot be stopped. It goes into the hospitals and the prisons and the prisoner of war camps, into the White House and into the refugee camps, into the suburbs, into the penthouses, and the boats at sea and the aircraft in the air, to all animals, to all insects, to all beings. In this moment our loving kindness is so strong, it can spread over the whole world with this beautiful warm glow, easing the pain, giving hope where there's fear, creating agreement where there is great arguments. May all people in this world, all beings, may you feel this peace, this love, which we're sending to you. May this peace and love, to know that people care, may that stop you being violent. May that allow you to forgive, to let go of the pain of the past, so we can be free to grow together in the future. May this great world be healed through the power of our unconditional, unbounded loving kindness. As you pour every last piece of your energy, thinking nothing for yourself but giving everything out there into the world, and finding the more you give, the more you have to give. The more source of energy is available to you. And you have more than enough to cover this whole world in a blanket of love, of kindness, of care, May all beings in the world in this moment have a pause in their suffering. May they be free of pain, free of fear. May they have happiness and joy. May all beings be well. As a golden glow now covers the whole planet, healing, warming, freeing, bringing peace on earth in this moment. How does that feel now? What's it like inside? It's at this point you remember you've left one person out, and that's yourself. So you take this golden glow, this incredible powerful light, and you turn it in on yourself. Yourself, this person who's been meditating for the last 3 or 4 days. Sometimes it's so hard, especially at first, to know how to be at peace. Sometimes you go through so much physical suffering, and in your life you've had so much pain and disappointment from time to time. Life is not easy. As you, so me. As me, so you. So now give that loving kindness to yourself. Feel yourself, imagine it, and say, me, the door of my heart is fully open to me. With all my faults, all the mistakes I've made, and all my fine qualities, in this moment, I allow myself to be exactly who I am, not trying to make myself different. Not trying to get rid of my past. You give unbounded, unconditional loving kindness to yourself. As if you imagine the half of yourself which you have rejected, the part which you weren't proud of, the part which you have denied because you're afraid of it, the black part of you. Allow that to come out of the shadows. Walk right into your heart through the open door. In the light, the dark becomes bright. The cold becomes warmed. As you become one with yourself, with your past, the black and the white. The door of my heart is open to me. As you bathe yourself with this beautiful loving kindness, as you spread this throughout your whole body with its pain and sicknesses, this incredible golden, warm, powerful light of loving kindness, going to the areas of the body which are suffering from the cancer, warming, healing, shrinking the tumors, lessening the disease, just through the power of unbounded love. You can feel that energy, feel that power like a golden light coursing through your body. Any aches, pains, injuries goes right throughout the body. Healing, warming, easing. Like it healed the pain of that imaginary cat. Now it's healing the pain in your shoulders and arms, your back, your head, in your organs, in your blood. Throughout the whole body, loving kindness is coursing and healing. Like a mother who reassures her injured child, just knowing she's there makes you feel so much better. Knowing your love is with you heals your body. May I be happy and well. May I be free of suffering and pain. May I be at peace. May I know the joy of enlightenment. As you wish yourself the very best, opening the door of peace and happiness to yourself. He spread his golden warmth of loving kindness throughout your body and mind, until there's nothing which is wrong, nothing which shouldn't be, embracing all of yourself as you are, being at peace with yourself, being free. As you linger with this golden ball of energy in your whole body and mind, now it's time. It's time to put away the loving kindness, but not to abandon it. As we imagine in our center of our body, around our heart, a beautiful white lotus, fully opened. The most perfect white, delicate lotus that your mind can visualize. And on the top you gather all of that energy of loving kindness into a powerful incandescent ball of light, of concentrated love. And once that's all collected up, all gathered into this wonderful, beautiful ball of loving kindness, sitting a millimeter or two above the white lotus, you imagine the petals of the white lotus so delicately closing, closing and embracing that wonderful energy. Only something as pure and delicate as a lotus flower can hold such a amazing thing as love. And it closes and closes and closes to protect the loving kindness in your heart, ready to open out whenever you need it at another time. Keep your eyes closed as I give the final blessing. Sabaroga Vinimuto Sabasanta Pavajito Sabavera Mati Gando Nibuto Chatuang Bawa Sabitiyo viva chantu sabarogo vinasatu mate pavanvantarayo sukhiti gayugo bhava apiva dana silitsa dichan vuta pachalino chataro dhamma vatanti ayuvano sukhang palang nati me saranang anyang puddho me saranang varang Etena sacca vacena sotite hotu sabbadanati me saranang anyang dhammo me saranang varang etena sacca vacena sotite hotu sabbadanati me saranang anyang sangho me saranang varang etena sacca vacena sotite hotu sabbada. May you all be happy and well. So there is a last blessing. You could open your eyes now and to do the three big sadhus. Sadhu. 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 Okay, should we do it again? The three big sadhus? Sadhu. Very good, okay. Okay, so another wonderful retreat. Nice to see you all here, and please go back happily and share your good energy to all the people you live with. May the whole world be happy and well because of what you've done. A photo. Yeah, okay, group photo. So is it group photo first of all? So maybe you can get maybe some, do you want to get the monks up here or some chairs in front, Chopper? Should we get some chairs in front for the monks and then everyone in front or the monks up here? Maybe actually it might be better if the monks were up here. Maybe we can take the table off, away, and then so that people can actually sit on here and get the quick photograph. So can I have some chairs in front for some of the yogis? The monks will sit on front. Can you sit on there? Okay, yeah. Okay, we'd all like to come up for a group photo. Okay, we need an organizer for a group photo. Yeah, that can be moved. Yeah. Okay. So please come up. Maybe it's a line of chairs so people can sit. And then in front of that, people can be on the floor. Okay, so to line it all up, can we have all the people who are fully enlightened, first of all, to come and sit on the chairs? And then all the ones who are anagamis, the next level. No? Any once returners, stream winners? Okay, anyone with jhanas, please go. Okay, anyone will do. Okay, please come and sit down, anyone. Should have actually the elders first of all, that's very good. Yeah. Okay, come along, grab a seat, otherwise you won't be in the photo. Some people sit on the chairs, come on. Especially the senior people, come on, you can sit on the chair. Anyone over 40, please sit on a chair. Come on, behave yourselves, sit on a chair. Anyone over 40 on a chair? Now I know how old you all are. Okay, we're getting most of the people in. Yeah, so can we have some of the visitors? So all the yogis can be in the shop. All the yogis come in.